Morning to you, 88.3 Southern FM, the time now, 5 minutes past the hour of seven, on today, the 14th of April, and it is Good Friday. And for those of you who are regular listeners to the Sunday morning 88.3, you might be confused a little because Gloria Patri and the sound of the bells are indication that Songs of Hope is on, and not only that, but into its second hour. But that's not the case this morning, in as much as we're into our first hour of two. We've got a special Good Friday presentation for you this morning, seeking to mark the history, I guess, and the significance of the day of Good Friday, that day on which Christians remember that Jesus Christ died on a cross in Calvary. And today I want to spend some time in a different form of liturgy. Those bells actually are the start of a recording of the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, a liturgy which has its particular significance from hundreds of years of invocation and practice in the Eastern Orthodox churches. And today we're going to be looking at some of the music as has been written recently, recent in terms of the likes of Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, and one or two others. And, well, what can I say? It's very beautiful music. It's very different music as far as church music is concerned. And as we go through the morning, I'll be seeking to explain a little bit about the liturgy. I'll also explain a little bit about Mr. Rachmaninoff, who's written it, but we'll be listening to one or two other expressions of the St. John Chrysostom liturgy. Well, let's stop talking about it and let's get into it. We've got the very first of the aspects of the liturgy, which is the Great Litany. And the Great Litany is sung by deacon and then responded to by choir. This is all in Russian. So for those of you who speak Russian, my apologies for my translations. And for those of you who don't speak Russian, I'm going to be trying to give you some idea as the music goes to air as to what it is that's actually being sung. And what we have here in terms of the opening Great Liturgy is an invocation of prayer, where the deacon prays for all manner of things. He prays for the kingdom of God, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit to be ever present. He prays for mercy upon our souls. He prays for the local church and all manner of things. So this, remembering that it's not exactly the liturgy as is practiced, but rather Rachmaninoff's rendering of it, let's open now with the Great Litany.
Благослови, Владыко.
Благословенно царство Отца и Сына и Святого Духа, ныне и присно и во веки веков.
Святых Божьих церквей и соединений всех, Господь.
Господу помолимся.
Господи, помилуй.
О святим храме всем с верою, благоговением и страхом Божиим входящих вонь, Господу помолимся. Святейшим патриархе Алексии и о Господине нашим преосвященнейшим митрополите Владимире, чей с ним пресвитерстве во Христе диаконстве по всем причте и людям, Господу помолимся. Стране нашей и властях и воинстве и я, Господу помолимся.
Господи, помилуй.
О граде всем, всяком граде, стране и верою живущих в них, Господу помолимся. Духов, о изобилии плодов земных и временных и мирных, Господу помолимся.
Господи, помилуй.
О плавающих, путешествующих, недугающих, страждущих, плененных и о спасении их, Господу помолимся.
Господи, помилуй.
О, избавитесь нам от всякой скорби, гнева и нужды, Господу помолимся. Спаси, помилуй, сохрани нас, Боже, Твоею благодатью.
Господи, помилуй.
Пресвятую, пречистую, преблагословенную, славную Владычицу нашу Богородицу и Пресно Девы Марию, со всеми святыми помянувши сами себе и друг друга, и весь живот наш Христу Богу предадим.
Яко подобает Тебе всякая слава, честь и поклонение Отцу и Сыну и Святому Духу, ныне и присно и во веки веков.
Аминь. Well, the last word in our introductory litany, of course, is Amen, and that should be fairly obvious to all of our listeners as to what it means and where it fits into the singing. But I would just like to point out that there's an expression that you might hear quite frequently in the course of the litany, both what you've just heard now and as we go through the morning, Gospodi pomilyu. Sorry about that, for those that speak Russian, and that's very simply, Lord have mercy. And so all the while when the cantor, or when the deacon actually is singing and the choir responds, they're responding to say, Lord, have mercy. Well, the liturgy itself moves from the opening prayers to a prayer of praise. And these are antiphons. readings generally from the Old Testament, especially from Psalm 102 and 145, and they make reference specifically to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's move now to the first and second antiphon, and when we've had that, I'll explain a little bit of how this liturgy came into being.
Имя Свято Твое, Бог.
So you've been listening to the first and second antiphon of the Liturgy of St. John, and the music itself has been composed by Rachmaninoff. Now, Rachmaninoff composed this in July in 1910. He had preceded this by a visit to the United States, a visit that he didn't enjoy at all. Evidently, he was well received, but he just didn't like the whole experience, and so he retired to a property that he had inherited from his uncle, and wrote to his friend in 1909, "I have been thinking about the liturgy for a long time, and I strove to write it. I started it, but got nowhere. But when I returned from America, I was able to do so." So here he is, able then to press into this most sublime music. And we might think that the liturgy seems steeped in the spirit of archaic chant and the inflections of Eastern Orthodox music. However, the people of the day considered it very modern. In fact, Rachmaninoff was roundly criticized for having presented such a thing. And even though the liturgy is, or Rachmaninoff's version of the liturgy is quite popular today, it fell into disrepair after its first performance in 1912. It was a beautiful work, even though it was imbued with this spirit of modernism, according to the Russian Orthodox ecclesiastics. And of himself, Rachmaninoff said, "I have been thinking about this liturgy for a long time, striving to complete it. I started work on it somehow by chance, and then suddenly became fascinated with it. Then, as I finished it very quickly, I rejoiced, for not for a long time have I written anything with such pleasure." So having listened to the first and second antiphon, let's turn our attention now to the third antiphon, and after that we'll have the Trisagion, but there's a bit of a story about the Trisagion which I will explain.
Thank you.
So the third antiphon is the Beatitudes, actually. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. And on this day, when we're able to rejoice in the freedoms of our nation of Australia, we might remember what Jesus said in the Beatitudes: blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And whilst there'll be people out marching to remind ourselves and to witness, testify to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, there are many, many places upon the face of the earth where such liberties do not exist. And so just this morning, as we consider the Beatitudes, our hearts go out to those amongst us who are suffering for their faith. The third antiphon actually commences with a statement central to the remembrance of the cross. It starts with, "In your kingdom, remember us, O Lord." And for those of you who might remember the scriptures, when Jesus was crucified between two thieves, one of them reviled against him and the other said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." So there it is, the third antiphon. Let me give you the little entrance.
Премудрость прости,
having begun with prayers, the great liturgy, having sung praises via the three antiphons, the liturgy itself, the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, moves to that point which is known as the little entrance. And at that point, the deacon implores that people will attend to the wisdom that is at hand. And what it is that this entry, this little entrance, represents the ancient practice when the priest took the gospel by the light of torches from the crypt in underground chasms or underground rooms, and it was kept there to protect the gospel from the destruction by pagans. And he brings it into the church. The priest lifts up the gospel and exclaims, "Wisdom, pay attention," and calls the people to worship and bow down to Christ. So that's what we've had, the little entrance. But there is a short prayer, which is praising God in his holiness. And to this end, it's called the Trisagion. And I want to play the Trisagion, but this time not from Rachmaninoff's rendering of it, but from a composition by a different Russian, Alexander Levine. And if the locals in 1910 thought that Rachmaninoff was very modern, then I think they would be very, very distressed by Levine's rendering of the St. John's liturgy. Levine wrote his version of the liturgy early in 2006, and it was in memory of his friend, Father Alexander Menn, who was a Russian Orthodox priest, and was something of a mentor to Levine and the architect of religious renewal in Russia at large. And it was premiered in Russia in 2009 by the Mariinsky Opera Choir. And Levine is a student of the Nessun Music Academy in Russia and moved to the UK. And so he's written a choral work along the same lines of liturgy as has been celebrated for hundreds of years in the Eastern tradition, but he's given it a more modern influence. So for those of you who are a bit disconcerted about the modern treatment that Rachmaninoff is giving the liturgy, wrap your ears around this. It's the Trisagion, which is a short hymn of praise.
Святый Боже, святый Клемент, святый Пресвятый, помилуй нас. Святый Боже, святый Клемент, святый Пресвятый, помилуй нас. Святый Боже, святый Клемент, святый Пресвятый, помилуй нас. Святый Боже, святый Святый помилуй нас, Святый Боже, Святый верный, Святый бессмертный помилуй нас, Святый Боже, Святый верный, Святый бессмертный помилуй нас, Святый Боже, Святый верный, Святый бессмертный помилуй нас, Святый
So there you have a yet more modern rendering of the St. John Chrysostom liturgy. And you might ponder to yourself, how is it that all we're hearing this morning is choirs? Well, the answer is because in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, the music is only to be sung. There are no musical instruments as such as you might find, say, within the Catholic Church, and definitely no guitars and drums, as you might find in some of our more contemporary Protestant churches. Rather, everything is sung. And so that's why we have this very choral presentation today, and that's purposive on my part, because I find Good Friday to be something of a somber day, something of a day of reflection. Never quite know how to behave myself on Good Friday. It's a good day, it's a joyous day, it's a day that marks the death of Christ upon the cross, and therefore the purging of our sins, the reconciliation of the breach between man and God caused by sin. But it's a day of suffering. It's a day when a most innocent lamb, the Lamb of God, was unjustly and cruelly killed. So I have these mixed emotions about today, a joyous day and also a somber day. And I suspect that Levine's Trisagion sort of captures that. Somber in as much as devoid of instruments, but joyous in as much as the singing of Hallelujah. Well, let's continue on now with Rachmaninoff's liturgy. And part of the liturgy itself involves the cherubic hymn. And this is a procession where involving the bread and wine. We must understand, for those of us who haven't got a Catholic background, the whole of the liturgy is in some senses a very long mass, as Catholics might call it, a very long Eucharistic celebration. And so this cherubic hymn is a reflection of the bread and wine being brought forward for the benefit of the clergy to sanctify. So here we have it, the cherubic hymn entry with holy gifts.
Thank you.
Absolutely, 88.3 Southern FM, and you're listening to a Good Friday edition of Songs of Hope, and we've been focusing on the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. So let's continue on now with the liturgy, and we're going to play something not by Rachmaninoff, but by Tchaikovsky. And at this point in the liturgy, it is a custom for the faithful to recite the Creed. And the Creed is a prayer of great antiquity, having emerged from the Nicene Council of 325, in which the character of Christ was settled. Was he a man, or was he God, or was he both? And the answer is, he's both. And so the Creed seeks to set that out, but also to set it out in Trinitarian form. That is to say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. God from God, Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And the Holy Spirit is equal with God, to be worshipped and adorified and glorified. So this is the Creed, and it's particularly relevant that we should be expressing the Creed or making use of the Creed during this Eastern Orthodox liturgy, because the protection of the faith, that is to say the Trinitarian nature of the Godhead and the dual nature of the Incarnation, God being both Christ and man, really belongs to the saints of the Eastern Church, St. Basil, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory, and St. Hilary, and all of these guys. They did battle, really. See, it's a Greek name, can't get my tongue around it. I'll tell you in a minute. These guys all did battle in order to preserve the Creed as a statement of faith for Christians back, as I say, in the 4th century. So let's have it this time not from Rachmaninoff, but from Tchaikovsky, for reasons that I will explain when it's been sung.
You.
So there we have it. Mr. Tchaikovsky's rendering of the Creed for the benefit of the St. John Chrysostom liturgy. And why I've included it? Well, whilst Tchaikovsky is known primarily for his symphonies and concertos and ballets and so on, he was deeply interested in the music and liturgy of the Russian Orthodox Church. And in fact, it was in 1875 that he compiled a textbook of harmony intended to facilitate the reading of sacred musical works in Russia. Probably not one of Tchaikovsky's better-known works, but there we go. His passion for church music was quite high. He had a bit of an indifferent attitude towards the church, but he composed this music about 1816, and it was published by his musical publisher, Jurgensen, but at the time it was promptly banned by the director of chapel music on the grounds that it had not been approved by the church, because at the time they had an office of sacred censorship. And so legal proceedings were initiated against Mr. Jurgensen, and 143 of his plates of Tchaikovsky's music were confiscated. Eventually, the chief administrator, of printed matter authorized publication, but it took a little while to get the music back out into circulation. So we owe, I think I might have given you the wrong year, but the plates were actually released in 1880. So we owe the fact that Levine and Rachmaninoff can give us music, which is liturgical music, to the groundbreaking, rule-breaking practices of Tchaikovsky. So that's why I thought I'd pay him some respect in our presentation of this liturgy. Well, we've not got too much longer to go. Remembering that the liturgy is substantially an act of worship based around the Eucharist, we will now have that which is known as the Anaphora, or the Eucharistic hymn, this time having been written by Sergei Rachmaninoff.
Станем добре, станем со страхом, волнем святое возношение в мире приносите. Thank you.
Eucharistic prayer, a prayer of mercy, a sacrifice of praise, and also with your spirit we lift them up to the Lord. It is meet and right to worship the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, consubstantial and undivided. Good theological words, and true words as well, we might point out. Well, I've been speaking of this as being the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, but I haven't gone so far as to explain who John Chrysostom was. John Chrysostom lived from the period 349 to 407. He was Archbishop of Constantinople and is honoured as one of the early church fathers, contemporary of Basil and others. And he's written a good deal. In fact, he is exceeded only by St. Augustine in terms of the quantity of his surviving writings. And the name Chrysostom, he was a very profound and a very influential preacher. And he was so good at describing the failings of the people who heard him. In other words, in trying to implore them towards righteousness, he would point out the failings of their behaviours, that he would speak to them of their own lifestyles, and he would describe to them how they would spend their time, and if it was inappropriate, why it was an inappropriate way to spend your time. And the reason I talk about the eloquence and the descriptiveness of his preaching is that St. John Chrysostom is read today not only for the sake of the wisdom of his preaching, but for the sake of the insights that he provided into Eastern life in the 4th century. He provides scholars and historians a very useful context and advice about the culture of the day. But, of course, he's better known for his preaching than he is for historical relevance. And here are some quotes from St. John Chrysostom. Oh, didn't explain. The Chrysostom is Greek, and it means golden mouth. He was such a profound and eloquent preacher that he acquired the nickname Golden Mouth. So we've been listening to the liturgy of John Golden Mouth. It's a little bit like the opera by Joe Green, isn't it? But that's another story. So here's a bit from John Golden Mouth. He says, "Not to share our own wealth with the poor is theft from the poor, and deprivation of their means. We do not possess our own wealth, but theirs." And he says, "If you cannot find Christ in the beggar at the church door, you will not find him in the chalice." Remembering that we're marking this as a Eucharistic celebration. And there's a lovely reference here which suggests that not everything that happened in the church of St. John's day was admirable. He says, "The road to hell is paved with the bones of priests and monks, and the skulls of bishops are the lamp posts that light the path." So he was a very controversial preacher and a very wise man. So here's the last of his sayings for this morning. "If you wish to leave much wealth to your children, leave them in God's care. Do not leave them riches, but virtue and skill. For if they learn to expect riches, they will not mind anything besides. And their abundant riches shall give them the means of screening the wickedness of their ways from their own thinking." So there's St. John Chrysostom, and that's why the liturgy is titled as it is, and because it's his liturgy, it's a liturgy that has been celebrated in various forms from the 4th century onwards. Well now, what would an Eastern liturgy be without a hymn to the Mother of God? So here we've got one, a hymn to Mary. And we're drawing towards a close, so let's enjoy this and I'll explain more of the liturgy shortly.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Well, I'm just about to conclude our observations with regard to the liturgy, and I just would like to let you know who it is that you've been listening to, because the performances have been sublime. The main recording that you've been listening to is available on the internet, actually, and it was the St. Petersburg Chamber Philharmonic and Choir under the direction of Olga Stupneva. I can't find out too much about that track because all of the CD covers and information are written in Cyrillic, being as though it's a Russian production. So I can't even tell you the name of the CD, but it's available there if you want to listen to it again on the internet. And the Tresedgian, which was that of Alexander Levine, was brought to us by the choir Tenebrae under the direction of Nigel Short. And the work by Tchaikovsky, that's available as a Melloman classic. So there we go. They're the performers that you've been listening to. So let's close out our presentation with final two tracks, Let Our Mouths Be Filled, and then The Dismissal. And you'll know you've been dismissed when you hear the bells.
Thank you.
the blessing of the Lord be upon you, he's saying. There we leave our consideration of the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom and the various modern renderings of the music within it. Thank you for listening. I trust that it's been sufficiently informative and not a little bit reflective for you on this very somber but important Good Friday.